Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This evening we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, with translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 16, entitled The Divine and Demoniac Natures, text number 8. Asatyam apratishtam te jagad anur anishvaram aparasparasambhutam kimanyat kamahaitukam. Translation. They say that this world is unreal, with no foundation, no God in control. They say it is produced of sex desire and has no cause other than lust. Responsibly, please repeat. They say that this world is unreal, with no foundation,
no
God in control.
They say it is produced of sex desire
and has no other cause than lust. Purport. The demoniac conclude that the world is phantasmagoria. There's no cause and effect, no controller, no purpose. Everything is unreal. They say that this cosmic manifestation arises due to chance material actions and reactions. They do not think that the world was created by God for a certain purpose. They have their own theory that the world has come about in its own way and that there is no reason to believe that there is a God behind it. For them, there's no difference between spirit and matter, and they do not accept the Supreme Spirit. Everything is matter only, and the whole cosmos is supposed to be a mass of ignorance. According to them, everything is void, and whatever manifestation exists is due to our ignorance in perception. They take it for granted that all manifestation of diversity is a display of ignorance, just as in a dream we create so many things which actually have no existence. Then when we are awake, we see that everything is simply a dream. But factually, although the demons say that life is a dream, they are very expert in enjoying this dream. And so instead of acquiring knowledge, they become more and more implicated in their dreamland. They conclude that as a child is simply the result of sexual intercourse between man and woman, this world is born without any soul. For them, it is only a combination of matter that has produced the living entities, and there is no question of the existence of the soul. As many living creatures come out from perspiration and from a dead body without any cause, the whole living world has come out of the material combinations of the cosmic manifestation. Therefore, material nature is the cause of this manifestation, and there is no other cause. They do not believe in the words of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Maya dyakshena prakriti su yate sa characharam. Under my direction, the whole material world is moving. In other words, among the demons, there is no perfect knowledge of the creation of the world. Every one of them has some particular theory of his own. According to them, one interpretation of the scriptures is as good as another, for they do not believe in a standard understanding of the scriptural injunctions. Asatyam apatishtam te jagadahura nishvaram aparaspara sambhutam kimanyat kama hoitukam. They say that this world is unreal, with no foundation, no God in control. They say it is produced of sex desire and has no cause other than lust. So, I always question conversations where someone says, they do this and they do that, and they're responsible for this. And I also ask, well, what do you mean by they? Who are we referring to here? And very often people, or people that I'm speaking to, are either reluctant to say who they're referring to, or literally they're just trying to say something without backing it up with any authority. So they use the word they. But here, they is very specific. It means those. There are basically two classes of living beings. There's no third class. One class of living beings, or one class of human beings specifically, accept that there is a cause behind the effect of the material world. They accept that there is an intelligent cause. They accept that there is a personal intelligent cause. It is not blind faith, it is based on logic and reason. But it cannot be produced in a laboratory, because it is beyond the limit of mundane senses. The absolute truth is not so easily available to the relative senses. The senses are limited. We can only see so far. We can only hear so fine. Taste, touch, smell, all limited. So our ability to discern the truth is limited. But to the best of our ability, we can gather faith. We can put our faith in the absolute truth, because it is not blind. It is rational. So there are those who are not at all inimical to God. They acknowledge that they are ultimately controlled by God, and they make some endeavor to try to expand their awareness of God. Some sort of endeavor. Whether it be as a Christian or a Hindu or a Muslim or a Jew, or it really doesn't matter. But they try to know the absolute truth, and gradually they make progress. And then there are those who are outright nihilists. They deny the existence of God. They don't want God to exist because he would be a hindrance to their hedonism. He would be a hindrance to their hedonism. They want to exploit the resources of material nature. They want to enjoy their senses. They want to engage others in their sense gratification. They want to do anything that they can get away with in order that they should experience some type of titillation of the senses, some type of euphoric experience for a short period of time. Deeper and deeper, more and more. Ultimately, all they meet with is frustration. Sangat sanjayate kama, kama krodo vijayate krodat bhavati samoha, samohat smriti vibhrama. You know the material whirlpool. You develop attraction for the objects of the senses. You become lusty to enjoy or to covet or to control the objects of your senses. Everything external to you is an object of your senses, whether it be other bodies or other things, cars, planes, computers, televisions, or other people, women, men. They're all objects for your senses. That is perception. And we want to bring those within our control and digest them, enjoy them, and leave them and go to the next. Sankalpa and vikalpa. That's the mind's business. Accepting and rejecting, accepting, rejecting, accepting. That's our experience. So this is a demoniac mentality. They will not restrain themselves. Even if they get good instruction from the scriptures, they manipulate that also to support their hedonism. They use the instructions in the books of knowledge. You can set a good example. They won't learn from that either. Therefore, their conclusion is, they have conclusions, some of them. Some of them are just donkeys. They don't have any conclusion. But amongst them, some are smarter than others, and they have some conclusion that there is nothing to worry about. There's nothing to be ashamed about. There's nothing that should make you feel guilty about anything. Just do it if it feels good. Because there's no cause. At the end, you die, it's all finished, there's no retribution, you don't have to pay for anything. You just do what you have to do to get ahead. They don't think about others, what situation they were born with. They basically, actually, the fact is, the nature of sense gratification and lust is that it consumes you so totally that there's virtually no energy left for thinking. So they really don't think. They have no brain. Prabhupada said they have stool for brain. Brain substance. Brain means you can discriminate between what is permanent and what is impermanent? What is spirit and what is matter? What is alive and what is dead? The body is dead. The body is not alive. It's just chemicals. You cannot, if you say the body is alive, then you must show me other chemicals that are also alive. Then this glasses case is alive. This book table is alive. Everything is alive. But it's not. It's inert and it's unconscious and it's dead. Dead matter. It's the Bahiranga Shakti. It's the external energy of the Lord. But there is another energy, Aparayamitastvanyam Prakritim Buddhimeparam. Jiva Bhuta Mahabaho. Besides all this Pancha Mahabhut, besides earth, air, fire, water, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego, which comprise the cosmos, it's a general description of the cosmos. But aside from this, there is another energy, to wit, the jiva soul, the life force, the shining particle within the body, the gleam in the eye. Where is that coming from? You think eyeballs are made gleaming? Take them out, see if they gleam. No. That gleam in the eye is coming from the energy of the self, the soul. And when the soul leaves, the gleam leaves. The effulgence, the aura, everything leaves. Just ask a heart surgeon. There was one, Professor Bigelow, in Canada. Prabhupada exchanged letters with him. But he noted in one journal, after performing so many surgeries and seeing patients die, he saw there was a difference between a dead body and a live body, right there in the operating room. Same table, only minutes before, but he saw a difference. He noted that. So, no intelligence to discriminate. No intelligence to understand that whatever you do, there must be a reaction. Things are connected. Things are not disconnected in the universe. Everything is connected. Whether it's gross or subtle, but it's all connected. Air is connected to the walls of the building. Molecules, and they're just different kinds of molecules forming different substances. But ultimately, it's the same energy. And it's all connected. And whatever you do, there's a reaction to it. So, foolish persons, they think that there is matter only. And they take full advantage. But yet, in the 18th chapter, somewhere here, there's a verse. Yad agre chanubandeva, chanubandecha, sukham. Oh, here it is. Vishayendriya samyogad yat tadagre mitopamam pariname vishamiva tatsukam rajasam smritam. Such people do experience enjoyment. There's no doubt about it. Their activities of sense gratification are one level of happiness. But the Bhagavad Gita explains here quite correctly that that happiness which is derived from contact of the senses with their objects, and which appears like nectar at first, yat tad agre, in the beginning, agre, amrita, you know, nectar, yat tad agre mritopamam, amritopamam, But pariname vishamiva. In the end, pariname vishamiva. In the end, it is like visha or poison. Tatsukam rajasam smritam. So that's happiness in the mode of passion. And people experience this again and again. They work very hard. They exploit material nature. They get some happiness, but it very quickly turns to poison. And there are so many examples of this that we daily see and even ourselves experience. Just like shopping, Christmas shopping. It's so much fun to go Christmas shopping with your credit card. You just, oh, I'll buy that one. Here, click it up, you know. Oh, I like that one. That's pretty. Here, take my plastic. You know, but in January when you get the bill. Ouch. And there are so many examples. Children are a good example. They dance and they're very joyful. And I was at a program the other night and one boy was having a good time showing off and came downstairs in the temple and his socks slipped on the chair on the stairs and whack! In the beginning he was having a great time, but in the end, it happens all the time. But yatad agre vishamiva pariname mritopamam. The opposite is that happiness which involves a little restraint, happiness which is achieved by an endeavor to know the truth, to know the self, and to enjoy on the platform of self-realization, that happiness, in the beginning, it's a little difficult because we're not accustomed to restraining our senses. All around us, people are just going hog wild, literally. Hog wild, it's a good expression. Rishabhdev talks about it. Rishabhdev. Nayana deho deha bhajan nriloke kastan kaman arhate vidbujamye. He's talking to his sons. He's emperor of the whole planet. He's talking to his sons who are about to inherit it. And he's advising them, don't use your position of wealth and power, etc., and your good intelligence just to imitate the vidbujam. And of course you know vidbujam means animals that eat stool, such as hogs or dogs or whatever. They eat anything. But in India, hogs make up, in the villages, they make up the sanitation department. People are quite simple, and there's a place outside the village where people do their ablutions. They pass their stool and whatever in the morning, excrete. The body has waste products. It's a function. So they go there, and in the morning, and they pass, and then they get up and go away and take their bath. And immediately there's a hog there. You know, in the cold morning, they like to get it hot. They like it hot. It's better hot, you know. Otherwise you have to put it in the microwave and But when you see it, it's amazing. You hear about it, you're a Westerner and you've no experience of it. But when you actually see it in the villages, it's far out. It's true. The hogs, they're vidbujam. So Rishabhdev says, don't waste your human life imitating the hogs and dogs and camels and asses. Favidvara hoshtra karai. Tapo dibyam. Engage in a little deeper penetration of happiness. Go to the platform beyond sukh and dukkh, beyond duality, beyond happiness and distress. Come to the platform of light. Come to the platform of ananda, joyfulness in every fiber of your body and soul that is ever increasing and that leads you to the lotus feet of the Supreme. Do you know that happiness can lead you to God? Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to be a dried up prune all your life to get, and then at the end, after being a dried up prune, you know, totally just no juice at all, and then at the end God says, oh, you've been a good little prune, I bless you. It's not like that. You don't have to be a prune and you don't have to be a prude. I don't know how many of you know that word, prude. You know, no. It's a joyful process. Sukham kartum avyayam. Joyfully performed. But it does involve some divine austerity. You have to regulate your association. Because if you associate with those people who think there's nothing here in the universe, there's no cause, there's no need to offer respect to a deity, there's no need to surrender to God, if you keep that kind of association, birds of a feather get drunk together. Christmas season. We will celebrate Christmas, but with devotees of the Lord, who are pure, who are simple, who are honest, who are kind, who are gentle, who are nonviolent. We won't celebrate the Shaktiavesh avatar's birth in a demoniac way. No. So that may be a little austerity because our aunts and our uncles and our cousins and our, this, you know, they're all doing it. I saw one poster now in the trains, you know, got this woman there. Doing it? Well, have a test, you know, HIV and this and that. Well, everybody's doing it in one way or another. They're transgressing the laws of God. And they're getting all kinds of viruses. They're getting the hell virus. They're going to live in hell. They don't even have to go anywhere. They just have to live in Brooklyn. Or New York in general, or the material world at the present time. The material world is not a good place at the present time. Even sometimes in Satyuga, when there are very enlightened persons to associate with, when nature gives forth all her beauty, we have not seen the beauty of nature, because the beauty of nature is the beauty of God. We've not seen it yet, because this is winter. You don't see the beauty of nature in winter. But in Satyuga, you can actually get flowers that have aroma. And they don't have to dye them. They have color. So there are times when it is better to be in the material world. But in general, overall, if we have to associate with demoniac natures, it will drag us down. So we have to restrain, we have to restrict, we have to be the master of our fate, the captain of our destiny or something. We have to take charge of our time and our life. We have to be responsible for the last moment. That last moment of life is going to determine whether we will be adjudged the winner or the loser. It's like the election. It came down to the last moment. And the result was that they were both losers. What to do? Out with the lion, in with the tiger. Really doesn't matter. They're both ignorant. None of them know the purpose of human life. So how can they lead? Like a blind man saying, come on, everybody, I'll lead you. And he's got a bunch of blind people with him, and, you know, they're driving down the road. Which way do we go? I don't know, I'm blind. Why don't they... Well, we know why they don't. Because they're too much engrossed in lust. So, tapo dibhyam putra kayena sattvam shudhyed brahma sokyam twanantam. This kind of brahma sokyam, spiritual happiness, is ananta. It's everlasting. It's ever increasing, ever expanding. And devotees know this. Of course, they're in a mix. They're in the material body. They're in the material world. They bring to devotional service some extra baggage. They need to discard that baggage. It takes time. But they can taste what they're tasting spiritually. They never lose. It only grows. You can temporarily cover it, but you can't diminish it. And it will grow and grow and grow if you pursue, if you persevere. If you want to be a spiritual person, you can do it in this very lifetime, in this Kali Yuga, in Brooklyn. You can do it. If you want. Yeyata mam prapadyante tangstataiva bhajami aham. Krishna will reciprocate with you according to your desire. So it's a good time. It's a very good time now. Take up spiritual life. Things are getting wild out there. Things are getting crazy, but it hasn't reached that point yet where it is impossible to prosecute spiritual life. There will come a day when it will be impossible. But there's still hope. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada came and gave us a ticket. It's an electronic ticket. We have to pick it up at the airport. It's available. But we have to make the effort to get to the airport, pick it up. Fly back home. And devotional service is the only process by which we can bhakti amama vijanati yavanyas chasmi tatata. Only by undivided devotional service can I be known. Bhaktya tvananyaya sakya hamevam vido arjuna gyatum drashtum chate chatatvena praveshtum cha parantapa You can know me, gyatum, drashtum. You can reciprocate with me directly. Krishna's giving us this opportunity. So one way is to get involved in devotional service, and one easy way for the congregation to get involved. Of course, we would like to see you come forward and help with the activities in the temple. And I've been here now about a month. Over the last month and a half or so, I was in New Vrindavan for some time. I was in Alachua, but I've been here. And I'm very much connected with this community. I like the devotees here. But I see a lot of room for improvement. A lot of room for improvement. And I see that there's a need for all of you to come forward and render some type of practical seva, puja. Giving donations is a beginning step. That's nice. Krishna appreciates you're giving your time in the form of your money. But even pranayar, artayar, diovacha, the first thing is prana, give your life, give your time. And execute some devotional service under the guidance of the devotees, and then you will be liberated wherever you go. Purification is required. Another way is in the distribution of Prabhupada's books. Now this is a very, very wonderful book. We read from it every Sunday. So many speakers are coming through here. Brooklyn, it's a major city. You get so many people passing through. Next week you have His Holiness Bhakti Charuswami, an erudite scholar, a wonderful man, purified soul. Undoubtedly he'll speak on Bhagavad Gita. Someone was telling me, one of my godbrothers who's not exactly directly engaged in devotional service these days. He's doing scam kirtan, but, you know, it's food for life for me and my wife. But he was telling me, he was trying to convince me how he's actually doing service, and he was telling me that every once in a while I meet someone who's nice and I preach to them. And because they're all good talkers. You know, some of them are Irish and they can really talk. He was telling me that he speaks to people and they're amazed. And they say, where do you get this knowledge? And this guy's, you know, they're basically in different degrees of Maya. But they're presenting the philosophy of Srila Prabhupada as they've been trained. And people were just shocked, amazed. Where have you got this knowledge? This is amazing. So you also, it doesn't matter what your stage of advancement is, you all know it in your own heart where you are. No one's going to, you know, find you out and knock on your door and... You know, it's up to you what you want to do. You're free. But one thing we all can do is distribute these books. Krishna says that those who preach this message of Bhagavad Gita, Priya Kritama, they're very dear to me. And this is a beautiful book. I love to distribute it. I've distributed 4 of them now in the last week or so. And, you know, I wish I had more time to distribute more of them. And I think you should also take up distributing Bhagavad Gita or magazines or something. That'll be a really good way to engage in devotional service, to practice divine austerity, and to celebrate Christmas. So, finally, I guess this is the last Sunday I'll be seeing you for, I don't know how long, but as I said this afternoon to His Holiness Giridhar Swami, I want to wish you all a very Merry Krishna and a Hari New Year. Hari Bol.